Water Banter.
Boom, and we are live with another episode of the Brown Water Banter podcast. My name is Jared Seymour.
My name is Joey Cates.
That's right, and we got a great show, man. I am pumped about this evening. It's going to be a good one. In the studio, we have Phil and Tony from Pork Mafia. We are talking all things barbecue and all things rubs, seasonings, the lifestyle, everything. I hope you're ready. It's going to be a great conversation. But before we jump into that, we're going to thank the people who keep the lights on for us over here at the Brown Water Studios. Right out of the gate, 2024 is the year to smile more. Dr. Robbie Williams and his friendly staff over at Southern Magnolia Smiles, man, they've been supporting us since day one, and we appreciate it. If you're looking to get those pearly whites sharpened up, cleaned up, looking right, go look them up on the socials at Southern Magnolia Smiles on Facebook and Instagram. And when you're ready to book that appointment, you can give them a shout at 228-215-1202 and tell them that we sent you. If you need legal representation for any reason, Taylor & Cox Law Firm has been practicing law on the Gulf Coast for 30 years. Man, they come highly recommended in their field. This is our buddy Tyler right here. He's stuck with us now for a while. You can give them a shout at 228-696-011. They specialize in felonies, misdemeanors, DUIs, family law, divorce, child custody situations. Nobody wants to have to have an attorney, but when you need one, you want somebody that's going to fight tooth and nail for you. Taylor & Cox is the people that we recommend, so go check them out and tell them that we sent you. Our buddy Rocky Brooks over at Sea to Swamp, man, he's got two locations. Like I keep telling you, Goshen and Gulfport. You can go check him out for all your tackle and apparel needs. He's doing real repair. He's got all kind of stuff. Kayaks, man, he's been slinging out of there. I forgot to put the new pictures in there. I was just over there the other day dropping off some posters for the Bay Rat Bash, his Gulfport store, and it looks great. You can give him a shout at 228-205-3964 or look him up on Facebook. That's See the number 2 and then Swamp. Kendrick over at Forever Young Men and Women's Health. Once again, look them up on Facebook. We're almost in March, so you've definitely missed that New Year's resolution, but it's still not too late to get back in the gym and start working out again. Go see Forever Young. Let them do some lab work on you. Let them check your vitamins. Let them check your hormones. Maybe you need testosterone replacement. And like we've said before, you can bring your lady in there because they do hormone replacement for women as well. Put your health care in the hands of a professional, Forever Young. Check them out. Give them a call, 228-363-6623, and tell them that we sent you. And the host of this year's Bay Rat Bash is going to be Dewey Doo Bugs. It's a new restaurant that just opened up in D'Iberville right across the street from the Scarlet Pearl. They are specializing in boiled seafood, man. Not a lot of people are doing that around here. And we've heard the reviews. We've heard it's great. Joey's been twice. He loved it. Check him out on Facebook, Dewey Doo Bugs. And you're going to see us here next week. The Biloxi 2024 Biloxi Boat Show. That's going to be March 8th through the 10th at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum Convention Center. This is about our third year being there, man. It's a lot. If you're into the outdoors, we've got all the boat manufacturers. We've got a lot of products that deal with the outdoors, rods, reels, there's smoked meat. It's all kind of stuff. It's really something to see. Again, at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum Convention Center, March the 8th through the 10th, and we're going to have them on next week for the show to talk about that a little bit more. We're looking forward to it. And like I mentioned, the Bay Rat Bash is coming up in just a little over a month. It's going to be April the 13th. Obviously, that's a Saturday, hosted at Dewey Doo Bugs, again, right across the street from the Scarlet Pearl. Turn a nasty old hardhead catfish into $1,000. We're going to be talking about it even more. We're teaming up with Fish in the South once again, and we're going to be having a special episode. We're going to talk about all of our sponsors here for that we're super proud of. So stay on the lookout, and registration is up now. So you can go to the website, click on the tab that says Bay Rat Bash Registration, and go ahead and enter in. $25, man, turn a catfish into a grand. So
do it.
It's going to be a fun time. You're not going to want to miss it. So now that that's out of the way, I think I beat Joey once again. Proud of that. I always win that race. He's still trying to get the people in here. But gentlemen, first off, thank y'all for being in the studio with us this evening. I want to start from the beginning. Pork Mafia, we did something. We were trying to figure it out before we went live at Keg and Barrel.
Yep.
We did a live cooking video. Joey was on there. I was behind the camera. We did ribs on the grill, I believe.
Yep.
First thing cooked on that grill, wasn't
right.
it?
Yep.
I don't think they'd even really broke it in yet. No. That's been a couple years ago. So you're back on the Gulf Coast. We appreciate you stopping by, but tell people that are hearing about Pork Mafia for the first time, like what's the brand about? How did it get started?
So we started in seasoning blends,
Okay.
I got into seasoning blend business through barbecue contest. Got lucky at a couple things, won a couple categories, and got asked to start a business. And so we did that. And our first year in business, we had 11 customers where we were making the restaurant spice blends for them.
Okay.
And
so it was a business. Like, yeah. Businesses were your customers.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good.
So business to business it was. And it just snowballed from there. You know, doing other people's spice blends for them.
Okay.
Or they can pick from ours. So we, in-house now, we probably have about 25 different spice blends that we carry.
Really?
So, but our whole goal in business is more business to business.
Right.
We do have the retail, but that just keeps the brand out there.
Correct, correct.
I mean, there's not a lot of money in it.
Right.
Happy to do that for other people. They can even pick any flavor of ours, and, you know, we'll put their label on product.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay,
yep.
Like a white label
white
thing,
label,
right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Yep, we do that with spice blends, sauces, and now coffee.
Yes, yes. So you sent Joey and I a care package that we were very thankful for with a bunch of the different spices.
Coffee
was
mustard,
in there.
Mustard.
Oh, yeah, the mustard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's legit. We've been using it for a while.
Yeah.
And loving it. The Memphis rub, right? I think that's one of the ones that we've...
I like the Louisiana barbecue and the Memphis.
Yeah, yeah. But
I
they're
mean,
all...
Louisiana Bayou and the Memphis Mud.
They're all really, really good. But how do you go from... You said competitions, right? And someone approached you, but like... Were you mixing up your own flavors? And obviously, I mean, that's what competition's about. That's how you kind of cut your teeth there.
Yeah, so at the very beginning, I of course would use, you know, the Mark Lambert's out of Memphis, Malcolm Reed's out of Memphis. So those are the basic ones I started using. And then you kind of do a few things and you doctor it a few different ways and maybe throw another rub in there. And you're like, yeah, I like that flavor. And then the factory I kind of work out of has a full lab and, you know, an engineering staff that knows what each flavor is for.
Actually got scientific evidence.
Got scientific on it. So now,
you were working there before this? Like that, you, that
no.
was your, oh, okay.
No.
So once you wanted to do it yourself, you went there. Okay.
Yeah, I went there. And so they're a full SQF food safety lab.
Yeah, like we've learned about this from some of the other guys we've had on the show, like food science and the labs and the quality control that goes into it. I mean, it's for real.
Yes.
Yeah, it ain't just throwing stuff into
a
bowl.
No, it's not. I'm not doing this out of my garage. There's there's a full engineered
flavor profile.
Flavors, yes.
Right.
So that is why our flavors are so well. You know, I'll talk to them and say, that's just not right. We need to do something. And they'll go back and send me another sample. And same way if I was doing that for a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Once you say you like that sample, we can price it.
Yeah. What was your baby in the beginning? What did you start off with?
Memphis Mud and Louisiana Bayou.
That's the one that I'm the most familiar with is Memphis
and
Mud.
Texas Gold. So in contest, we had Memphis Mud for pork butts, Louisiana Bayou for our chicken, Texas Gold for our brisket.
Okay. How did you get into like the smoking, you know, cooking? Even so, like how'd you get in the competition scene?
So
where'd that start?
I'd always grilled in the backyard and I was an iron worker. In Chicago, climbing high rises, banging on steel all day.
That ain't fun.
No.
And then in the late 90s, that took a tank and started looking for other things to do. And I'd always grilled. And I had a little stand-up smoker in the backyard I cooked on every once in a while and just got more into it. I went to Memphis and met up with a great group of guys and started cooking with them and some of them on their Memphis and May team.
Yeah.
And
what an event that is.
That's like the Super Bowl.
Huge event. Yeah, Super Bowl of barbecue.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And then met the last 10 years, I probably cooked with a group from New York who ended up being a customer.
Okay.
So they now own three locations, Queens, New York, Miami, and Louisville, Kentucky, Pig Beach Barbecue. So we help them make their sauces, and we make all the rubs.
Now, when a business like that, when you're making the rubs for them, is your name Pork Mafia on the menu? Do they, or is it not? Does it not work like that?
No. So a lot of them just like to have their visions, you know, their brand on it. So, and that's fine. With a little bit of research, anybody can find out who's making it. You know?
right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I just didn't know how that game worked. Right.
So a lot of times they call that a blind packaging. You know, your brand is not on it.
Okay.
So you'll put their label on it, and it doesn't say nothing about you. But now some of them, like the bulk packaging, it'll say the name of the product, and then it'll say distributed by Pork Mafia.
Okay.
Now, for some of the halal places now, which I have started selling to, they have a different type of a system, you know, like the Jewish have kosher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So halal is a whole nother thing.
What is that? I'm not even familiar with what that means.
Well, yeah. So it's a different grade of meat even. So like at the Restaurant Depot or whatever by us, you can get halal chicken.
Okay.
Which is supposed to be a little better.
So kind of like Wagyu?
Kind of like a Wagyu. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So it's
I don't think I've ever even heard that term before.
No, I have not.
Yeah. So the Middle Eastern people, the Palestinians, some Israel, mm-hmm. Like to have the halal product or the halal. It's kind of like having the blessing of the priest.
Okay.
On their side.
Right.
So, but we're trying to cover all that. So whatever there is, you know, we can get it done.
Okay. Yeah, we're covering all the bases.
All the bases.
All the bases. If you want to buy from us, we can make it happen.
Right. So that's why, for that, you know, I didn't want to push Pork Mafia in their face. So
right.
That's why I started the PM International.
I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah. You just eliminated a large percentage of the population. Yeah. So you is that like the company?
That's our distribution company.
Okay. So it's called what?
PM International.
That's right. And don't ask what the initials are about. It's none of your business. It's none of your business. That's good. No, I love it. I'm going to flash on the screen real quick. It'll take a little bit of a delay for it to come over here.
So you got your seasonings. Let's walk through that because I know we went through it last time, but you got your baby in the front. That's Memphis Mud.
Yep.
And that's used for what's your special
pork. We would use it mainly for pork butts, but it's great on ribs as we brought some today. That's got some, we went straight Memphis Mud on two racks, and on the other two racks tonight, we went a little different, which we used the new one, the Buckshot.
Right.
Okay.
And that has a little activated charcoal in it. Mm. And then we covered it with a Nazareth rub, which I brought back from Israel. 2018, I went to Israel to help a winery run through their staff how to do a little barbecue, and they still buy some product from us.
Really?
So their barbecue company is called Barbecue Garage, and they're in about an hour outside of Tel Aviv. And it's Tishbe Winery that they have Memphis Mud, Texas Gold, and Louisiana Bayou they buy.
Really?
Okay.
Tell them that story, Phil, because that's one of the coolest stories ever is how you got that.
So the rub, the Nazareth rub, which we'd also have on the ribs today. So after teaching with the staff there, the owner said, I want you to go to Nazareth with a friend of mine, and he'll take you to all the little shops. So we went all to the little cheese shops where they had, family farm sheep cheese made every day. So we went and tasted all this stuff.
Yeah.
And even went to where the church where, baby Jesus was.
Yeah. Jesus and Nazareth.
Nazareth. So we went through all that. And one of the last stops we did was a oldest butcher shop in Nazareth, could be a 1,000-year-old butcher shop.
Right.
Handed me a handful of spice. He said, we put this on everything. So this is what the Nazareth rub is that I now sell here.
He kind of gave you the secret ingredient.
He gave me the secret ingredient. And again,
frankincense and myrrh type stuff.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, our lab scientists at the lab upped it. They
throttled it up.
As I like to say, amplified.
Yeah.
So that's what we have. And every once in a while, the guy from Israel will say, I think it's just got a little too much clove.
Right.
But that's one of the amplifiers.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
So we juiced it up.
You don't understand.
America. If you're in America, we're always going to make it bigger and better,
like,
for sure.
Sir, we're about bald eagles and fireworks, so we got to up the clove content. Yeah.
Well, how was that butcher shop? Because I know a lot of their religion doesn't mess with pork at all.
So a lot of them don't have it. There was one or two that did carry it, and they do have a wild pig problem.
Really?
In Israel. There is wild
Send them over
pigs.
Here.
Yeah.
Wild Send them pigs over here. Just running on the street.
They're like boars or like pig.
Well, we kind of have that problem at certain spots here.
Yeah. Once they start going, they're like rabbits. You can't kill them fast enough.
Yeah. Tell me real quick. Tell me a little bit real jump out of here. What are we drinking on? But so people didn't see us. Tell what's the story on that?
Picked it up in Georgia because they don't. I can't find it here.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm gonna be looking for it now. What is this? Yeah,
it's Peg Leg Porker. So it's Kerry Brangles. It's a barbecue guy.
Yeah.
His whiskey, his bourbon whiskey. Now it's kind of controversial because it's a Tennessee straight bourbon whiskey. So bourbon is usually Kentucky. I mean, that's
what we looked it up on the show before. We it have. Can be anywhere in the U.S. as long as it meets the criteria of new oak barrels, corn, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. So it can be from Tennessee.
But it's delicious. It's delicious.
Right.
It's
regardless tasty. Of where it's from, yeah, it tastes amazing. Yeah. I'm gonna try this one more time because I want to make sure that it's as good
it's
as I
good
thought
as you thought it was.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Joey takes
And he's got a great barbecue restaurant in Nashville.
Really?
Called Peg Leg Pork.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So run us through. We hit Memphis Mud, Louisiana Bayou. What do you use that for usually?
Louisiana Bayou. In contest, we used it for chicken, but I love it on pork, ribs. If I only had one, it would be Louisiana Bayou.
Really? That was my go-to for
just
because
it's so versatile.
Yeah.
Like, I can use that straight on a brisket and just add a little more black pepper.
Mm. And see, that's the thing I guess a lot of people look over. Like, they'll use their favorite rub and leave it. But, like, the ones we did for Mardi Gras, I took the Memphis Mud and then put the Texas Gold on top of it. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So putting both of those flavors together is unbelievable.
So I originally never mixed them. So I was out of town one year.
Don't cross the streams like in Ghostbusters.
That's right.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
So I was out of town.
Until you have to.
I had a very high-end chef from Chicago text me and said, hey, I got the number one chef in the world coming into town. She's from Spain, and I want to cook her American barbecue. I said, I'll send it to you right away. So I sent him, you know, a couple pounds of Memphis Mud, a couple pounds of Texas, and he's sending me pictures, and he's like, got it all mixed. I'm like, dude, I've never did that before.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
You just unlocked the secret code.
But it was like the best thing ever.
Yes.
That reminds me of the Zapp's potato chips, the voodoo, right? If you read the story on the bag, which I don't, is that made up? Is it real? Who knows? But that they just mixed all the flavors together, and it tastes amazing.
It tastes great.
Yeah,
I had really a bag good. Yesterday.
Yeah, it's legit. It's legit. Well,
talk about you're from Chicago. Usually, Chicago's not mentioned in the barbecue world. It's usually you know, your Tennessee's, your Texas, your Kansas City's.
Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me how you placed Chicago on the map.
So we I was not afraid to travel. That's why I learned a little bit about barbecue. You know, my whole thing is I wanted to cook pigs in Chicago. I had a handful of friends with bars, and I wanted to cater and get into catering more. So I thought I would do that through cooking pigs.
Like whole pigs?
Yeah, whole pigs.
Well, yeah, because we're going to get into that because, you know, that whole thing he does, that's legit.
Yeah.
So the whole pig thing came about, and I wanted to learn more. So I went to class. Like barbecue class a friend was doing in South Carolina.
So what time frame would this have been?
This was around 2005.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, once you pay, you can come back every year, you know. So you kind of help them start instructing and helping out. And it was great. They don't do it no more, but I do miss going to South Carolina every year for that class.
Yeah.
And but once I got it going, I brought a pit back from South Carolina. John Haney and Alvaron Pitts, I think it's the one on my sleeve right here. he makes a great barbecue pit. Yeah, it's propane. And yeah, I want to get my catering done on time.
Right.
So I don't have to worry about baby feet, you know, feeding a stick burner every 20 minutes or whatever, which is great if you have the time.
Yeah.
It's funny. We talked a little bit before we went live. Our buddy Vincent from Salt Pepper Oak,
he's in the comments.
He dropped the comments. He said, let's link up. It's time to drop a rub.
Awesome.
But I bring that up to say, I mentioned to you that they were making their own smokers.
Yes.
They have, Double Barrel has, I don't know that they were the initiators of it. Correct me, Vincent, if I'm wrong. But they have a regulator on the front that opens the baffle.
That's awesome.
It's automated.
Tony was talking
that
about
butterfly valve.
Yeah.
Unreal. And thermocouple.
It's legit. Yeah. So now, granted, they still have theirs down to a science. I've seen the notebook. Like, I know they know how many
When
sticks.
He was explaining it to me, his brother explained to me, I was like,
yeah.
It's just a grill, bro. He's like, no.
No, and they ran it through their mathematics. They didn't want to pay a guy to sit there for the business. Like, they've got it going on. But awesome. I didn't want to interrupt. But that when you said that, that's what made me think of.
So, you know, that was been the whole thing. You know, a lot of guys are, well, I'm a purist. It's got to be cooked with wood all the time. And I was that guy for a while.
Right.
But when you're trying to make money catering, you got to have the food ready on time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have. Yeah. You have 14 hours to sit there and wait.
Right. Yeah, yeah, Vincent said he's not. They're not the first, but they're the only one to do it on an offset with that baffle.
That would be probably correct. Yeah. I know I've seen it on some other Texas cooker, but that's not offset.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. I definitely want to get with him and check that out. We'll Tony make that, was talking about.
Yeah. Tony's. You got his contact. We got his contact. Yeah, we'll make that happen for sure.
Good people.
We definitely want to get connected with it.
Yeah. So the old battle between.
Stick burner,
pellet burner,
right.
Propane. Do you get into that much, or just whenever you put the food on the table, that's where
it's at? So, like I said, I used to be that guy. But to me right now, if you're putting out a good product, I don't care what you're cooking it on.
Yeah.
As long as your family and your friends, whoever you're cooking for, is happy,
right.
You're doing a great job.
Right.
So, that the propane or electric, whatever, it don't matter to me anymore. As long as it's coming out the way you want it.
Right.
So what's the Chicago scene like now? I
mean, so there are a handful of great barbecue restaurants in Chicago. A lot of them I do sell my rub or make their rub for them. But it's not, you know, there's different styles of barbecue even in Chicago. So
all right, break it down for us.
So you get on the south side, you got the black places that a lot of them have an aquarium smoker. It looks like a big fish tank.
Okay.
Clear windows on four sides.
Okay.
A little fire in the bottom. But it's such old school that it's kind of like a stick burner. But the guys just don't want to sit there no more and babysit it.
Right, yeah. It's too tedious.
So a lot of them will have this type of smoker just to put out front now and view how they used
visual.
To do
right,
it.
Right.
So
we ain't lying. We're just telling you this is
so
what
even at
be
Peg
like.
Leg Porkers, they got one of these Chicago aquarium smokers sitting out front. It is a different way of doing it, but it's good.
Okay.
But then you got your like Kansas City and Memphis styles, you know, pushed in there, and it's all good barbecue. A lot of them jump into it not knowing what they're getting into. They're like, yeah, we hear the barbecue's good product and we think we can do it. And some of them grow and some of them tank.
You mean they're looking at it like a business? Like,
yes.
We heard barbecue sells. It's
yes.
Like, this is a finesse thing, man. You better be ready.
Yes. So business-wise, you know, we probably have 40 or 50 restaurants we service with bulk product.
Wow.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
That's legit.
I would say from Milwaukee around to Detroit.
Yeah. So, and usually you don't think of that area for barbecue at all.
I don't. Yeah, I don't. And is it – how would you define it? I mean, prevalent, up and coming, or
– You just, know, it's just there.
Okay, that's good. Because we don't go there, so we don't know.
So I'd even take that back from Milwaukee to Cleveland is kind of where I service.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. So we have a good customer in Cleveland area. And a famous chef has a restaurant in Cleveland area that's a barbecue spot, and it's not that good.
I'm picking up like some Anthony Bourdain vibes as far as like your lifestyle, like right, you're just jumping over to all these places, and hanging out with these people,
like coming here, like this past week's been a whirlwind. First stopping in Monroe, Louisiana at Chef Corey Barr's place.
You're like a barbecue rock star.
Yes.
Then going to right. Chef Fulce's event. We did a boucherie at Chef Fulce's this weekend. So we processed two pigs, which means we killed, harvested, butchered, cooked, and ate pig in two days.
And those are
two whole
big
hogs.
Deals.
Yeah,
right.
Those are wonderful events.
And it's people coming from all over the place, out of town. And for what you take the hog and you butcher it.
It's old knowledge. Old school.
Walk them down. Okay. Like give them the Vikings burial and everything like that.
Say the name, can you say the name again?
So the particular one like we're talking about is at Comfort Farms in Georgia. And it's a vet fundraiser.
Right. Nice.
So that one's every mid-January, so it just was last month. So the boucherie is a French word for butcher.
Okay.
So the Cajuns would throw a community boucherie.
So pre-refrigeration.
Pre-refrigeration. Correct. So correct. They might.
Okay. So you fed the neighborhood. Yeah. You couldn't keep it.
So then you have one next week.
Right.
Then you have one the week after.
You know what's funny about that? It's like that was the kind of stuff that tied communities together
yes.
through food, yes. communal stuff that we kind of we get
and
away
now
from
now. We lock
nowadays.
The doors and shut it as soon
yeah.
as we get in the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's still alive. Yes. You're saying.
So at the Comfort Farms Boucherie, you know, they do 8 cook stations.
Okay.
So there's somebody doing head cheese. There's somebody doing boudin. There's somebody making andouille. There's somebody doing cracklings. There's somebody doing
all that sounds terrible.
All the innards, yeah. all the innards, stew, yeah. backbone stew. So you got some phenomenal dishes coming out of that one animal.
Nothing probably gets wasted.
Nothing gets wasted.
That's the bones, way. And they probably even boil the bones out.
Yes, except the toenails and the squeal.
Yeah.
So the backbone stew is the bones from whatever nobody else needs put in a pot.
Yeah.
And just a great stew made out of it.
Right. And these people come from out of town. All literally, of you butcher it. Y'all like walk it down.
Yep. So we do have a parade. Just to
honor.
Honor the pig.
So, I'm looking on your Facebook. I'm trying to see if I can find like a picture from it, but it may be too deep.
Yeah, it's from January 15th.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
It's cool though. But you get it down there, and then you butcher the pig, and then you send everybody on their way, and then they make one huge meal, and y'all link up and just all eat it together, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they try and stagger them to where everybody can get a little of something.
Right.
You know, so it might be backbone stew first. It might be, you know, cracklings toward the end. They try and stagger them
so
out.
So you get all of
the whole everybody pig. Can get a
little tasting of it.
Yeah.
And is this buy tickets? Like, are you already invited to this? How does that work?
So you do buy tickets. The public can buy tickets to come in. You look on their Facebook page, Comfort Farms, and you'll see a lot of it. John Jackson is a great guy. One of the Army Rangers that's in charge of it.
Okay.
And it's named after
badass.
Badass. Well, and it's named after one of his friends that didn't make it back. So it's all for a good thing, and it's great people that you meet. You know?
And that's not the only one you go to, right? There's other
guys that are popping off all the time.
Yep. Yep. Mainly in when it's a little cooler.
Right.
Yeah. It's too hot to do anything in August.
Yep.
For sure. At least down here.
Right.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
You ain't lying. I want to go back to the business side of things. So you were doing the competitions, you got approached about the business. How did you grow it like awareness wise? And then also how did you know B2B versus, because I think a lot of times when we'd have discussions, we think retail, and I don't know if this was pre-internet for you when this was happening, but like how did you have that like wherewithal to know to go B2B?
So I learned pretty quickly. That most barbecue heads want something for free.
Right.
So I'm like, if I'm going to make money at this,
right.
I need to go talk to a business.
Yeah, right.
So
and they buy more.
They buy
bigger orders.
So that's what I was looking for, the repeat orders. So,
correct.
You know, the good restaurants, busy restaurants are every week. You know, I got five or six, eight places I deliver to every week.
Did you do anything business wise? You said you were an iron worker. Had you done other companies as far as like, how'd you cut your teeth in that business game?
In iron working. So, my dad had started a business, and I kind of took it over.
So you had a little of experience running a business before. Okay. That's cool.
That's something you jump into.
Yeah. If you like a trade, any kind of trade, white collar job, doesn't matter. If you've never ran a business, you know, you get popped in the face a couple times real quick.
Taxes, copyrights.
So at the end of that, you know, I was owed like $600,000 or $300,000, and it was going to cost me $600,000 to get that $300,000. I'm like, I'm just going to.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a couple of lessons learned.
Yep.
Yeah. But then what about the growth of, did it start out as Pork Mafia right out of the gate?
So it did not.
Okay.
My barbecue team was called Hogs and Hotties.
Hogs and Hotties?
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So
that's
in the early days, that was that. And then, so after I got a little knowledge on how to cook a pig, one particular catering job, I was cooking a pig at a friend's bar, not right near Wrigley. So Cubs were playing like 6 blocks away.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was smoking a pig behind this bar, and we're just sitting around like this, and some photographer walked up and took the picture. He looks at it. He goes, man, I don't know. He goes, you guys look like the Pork Mafia.
I said,
I don't know where it's going, but yeah. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. We're taking that over.
Yeah, that's funny. That reminds me like of Tom Morello from Raging Against the Machine. He talked about jamming with some people and like just, you know, freestyling, and he would like, hit a riff and he'd go, he'd stop playing it. And he'd be like, all right, I'm going to remember that one. Nobody else is going to hear this one. Nobody else is getting to hear the rest of that one.
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing.
One of the questions I wanted to ask, and I asked you before that, 2005 when you were getting your legs, internet, social media wasn't what it is today.
Yeah, it was just
barely. So what was beating the block in the barbecue world before TikTok and Instagram where you can just reach hundreds and thousands of people every day?
Yeah, so, you know, I'd have to say there wasn't much going on.
It was probably it was probably like Memphis in May, right? Like those style. Yeah.
It was like what just us old those
people
things.
What us old people call in person events.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You had to actually go out and do stuff
and find out.
Yeah.
Right. So my very first year going to Memphis in May, I mean, I didn't know nobody down there. Didn't know really how they did it. I drove down, spent the night in my car, walked into the event, and didn't know nobody. I'm like, this is retarded, you know. To go in someplace and not knowing exactly what to do.
I love it, though.
It's like walking into the Super Bowl.
Right.
Not knowing what to do.
Yeah. So,
you're not just walking to a regular barbecue.
So I finally met up with somebody, you know, walked around enough and talked to them about a rib that they were passing out enough to where they said, come on in the tent.
Yeah.
And that's all it took. I was hooked then.
Yeah.
At that point, did you have chops at all?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay.
So the following year, they just asked me to come in and cook with them right away.
Wow. Great group of guys.
Great group of guys.
Still know these guys today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't Hogs and Hotties, was it?
No.
That was his. That was his stuff.
But so then it just took, you know, everything, it just rolled
okay.
to what it is now.
Yeah.
And that's really a great way to get into it and you know, first take some baby steps and then, do a few other things. And 2014, cooked with a team at Jack Daniel's, took first place ribs, which opened up the doors for me to go to Europe.
That was in Memphis in May?
That was at Jack Daniel's.
Oh, there's Jack. A different Jack Daniel's. Okay.
Jack.
So it's kind of like, I guess, in golf, NASCAR world,
yes.
you win a big event, you're
yes.
pretty much
yes.
in.
You're on the map.
Yeah, you're on the map. Yeah.
So 2014, I cooked with a team from Arkansas that won first place ribs. And then 2015, got asked to go to Sweden.
Dang.
Went to Sweden, and then the next year got asked to go to Finland. So I went to Finland the next two years.
I know.
Like when I think of Sweden and Finland, barbecue does not come to mind.
Well, they love America.
Honestly, that
they
shows how like untraveled Levi. We are,
yeah.
Joey. That's
yeah.
We just
yeah.
don't
I've never
know,
been there,
man.
But
know.
Yeah.
So then my second year to Finland, had a company say, hey, you know, we'll make your rubs for you over here. So I got three flavors that are made in Europe and sold in Europe.
Wow.
And they just send me the percentage.
Yeah. Yeah, we got our buddy in the comments, Doug Rowell. He does a lot of he's Due South Barbecue, and he says he's always looking for some winning seasonings.
He wanted to trade me when I posted a picture of the Pork Mafia. He was like, hey, man, is that stuff any good? I was like, yeah. He's like, let me get some. And we never linked up.
Okay, Doug, hit us up, man.
Send me the address. I'll send you a sample.
There you go. And Doug's won some stuff.
They
was at Memphis in May and won some stuff, too.
So they just went to
– he ain't just a backyard guy. Anyway,
yeah, some big barbecue. I don't know where he was at last week or the week before.
Yeah, but he's doing some catering stuff, too. So,
this year, instead of Memphis in May, I am going back to Lithuania.
Tell me about that.
So I've been going to Lithuania the last couple of years.
Okay.
I have a grill company, a friend that has a grill company there. It's the Kamado Bono. It's kind of just like the Kamado Joe.
Yeah.
But the Bono is from Europe. And they are exploding across Europe. And
that's not the one that's crisscrossed, is it? It kind of looks like the Kamado Joe, but it's got the crisscrosses on
it? No, just looks it's exactly the same as Kamado Joe.
Okay.
It's just the branding on the labels spots is different.
Right.
And the innards are a little different. So the Kamado Bono has some patents on the grates and some stuff on the inside that is going to be really a game changer on a backyard grill.
Okay.
So they're hoping to be in the States in the next year or so, and hopefully Pork Mafia or PM International is handling some
PM
of that.
PM International, like that. Yeah, yeah. So how did you two guys get linked up? Because we've known this gentleman here for a long time.
Me and Tony grew up in the same neighborhood.
I can't see who it was. Hashtag Cedar Grove in the comments. It, I don't know who it was.
Cedarwood.
Cedarwood. Long time
ago. You know they got Tucker Grove now.
Me and Tony.
No. It's on the sign, Tony. It's for real.
Negative.
Now, how'd y'all link up?
I think it was the Folsom's event the first time.
I was going to say a beard convention.
2017.
Beard convention would have been my guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I first seen Tony at Comfort Farms this year, I'm like, dude, I ain't seen you in, I don't know, a year or so, I guess, but that beard is awesome.
Oh, it's legit.
It's a squirrel nest.
No, it's legit.
It looks good.
My little rat face over here is jealous.
So, we met originally 2017 at Chef Folsom's Boucherie.
17, okay.
I mean, we've been doing some events together since.
Yeah.
Tony, how did you get into this world? Like, what's your backstory on that?
It's
backyard guy, I'm sure, right? I mean, forever. That's where we all started, right?
Even when we were in Cedar Grove, you know, people getting aggravated with all the smoke.
Boiling out the back.
Out the back.
All right, okay.
And, it was just, you know, trying to cook, make something decent.
Right.
You know, and... get in the, you know, backyard world, competition world.
There we go. Rip the tempo.
Yeah,
off
put
that
them
bad
on the table.
Yeah, yeah, we always table. We always yeah, wait late. But no, keep going.
So, So, how did you get in the same neighborhood as this guy? Did you know him before any of that, or you just knew the barbecue scene?
Well, I knew Boucherie's from my family. My family was from Franklinton, Louisiana, so they were dairymen. So they had a lot of bull calves that were not useful for in the dairy world.
Right, right.
So instead of the pig side of it, they would harvest a lot of bull calves. So we would cook, you know, and everybody would come.
Right.
And then the next weekend, same deal. And I was like, you know, I want to get my kids involved in knowing this knowledge, you know, before refrigeration.
Right.
Right.
You know, to where everybody, it's a good time. You know,
the communal vibe, right. Like we talked about earlier. Brings people together.
If they want to get involved, get their hands dirty, they can. That's what you want to learn a little bit, go in there and get your hands in there.
So these butchers, go ahead, finish it.
Yeah.
And when I went to Folsom's, it was literally the Super Bowl of boucheries.
Right.
I mean, it's.
Did you know that going in, or was that coincidental?
No, it was just, you know, this one's close.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, it was like, this one's close, 2 hours away.
Right.
I'll hit this one.
Right.
So we go check it out, and I'm like, dude, this is unreal. This is like Disney World.
Right.
Level made for TV boucherie, like everything's to the nth degree.
Yeah.
So
not to interrupt you, but ladies and gentlemen, you can see Joey. I got mine right over here. We got the ribs. We about to taste the product. So I apologize to you guys if
there's gonna be a lot of smacking.
It's, look, if you was in the studio, you'd be doing it too. Mm-hmm. So cut us just a tiny bit of slack, especially for you audio people. But so you stumble upon this.
Right.
Show up, I'm assuming a little bit blown away because that's your first one, not really knowing what the deal is, and hooked even more than you already were right there. But do you see him cooking somewhere? How did that happen?
Yeah, I knew Phil from competitions.
Okay.
And I had kind of got jaded from competitions because sometimes you can, you know, you don't know how you finish. You know, you don't know if you're in the middle of the pack. Should I just throw this recipe completely away?
You're saying because they only announce
three.
They don't say, hey man, this is sour, or
too tough.
Yeah, this is out. Okay. You know what?
Are you making your own seasonings, blends, combinations at this time, or are you just
straight? I'm kind of, you know, you stick to what you know.
Okay,
you stick to what you do. You don't really want to experiment at an event because.
Right.
You know, you got $1,000
in
meat. It's like
you go with the old trust.
Did I miss this? Were you competing at this event, or you were just
no? There's no competition. It was before this.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, before I was competing with other teams, working with people.
Then we kind of connected too because we were both kind of disgusted with contests.
Okay.
And this boucherie thing came
around. It's like more communal and less, okay.
Yeah, let's get everybody involved wins. In this.
Right.
I just want to, I don't mind spending the money. The money ain't the problem. The problem, where it came is I don't find out where I'm, you know, I don't see any smiles.
Gotcha.
No one is smiling.
Gotcha.
So when everyone's smiling, I'm like, well,
this is way better.
Yeah, this is what I want to do. This
I don't
is
need
a party.
Medal. Yeah, there you go.
This is tailgating with no game. Dude, you know, it was just, you know.
I've played music in bands, and one of the things that we used to do that I didn't think other guys were doing on the local scene.
I can't stop eating these ribs.
We would go get our gear in the bar that we were playing, and as soon as everything was set up and we knew we were good, we would go outside and take a Smokey Joe, little Weber, and we would start cooking, and other bands would be looking at us, and they'd be like, what are they doing over there? We're like, come on, bro, we got enough for everybody. Like, we wanted it to be that party vibe.
Yes.
Versus, like, sometimes, like, maybe the competitions, I don't know, you tell me if I'm wrong, but it's like, who are those guys?
Yeah.
It's like, no, dude, we just want to hang out and party and drink beer. That's all. I mean, yeah, we love music and you love barbecue, but the smiles, that's what we were after.
You know,
and it made it so much better.
Yeah. I like the fact that, you know, in my nature, if I see somebody screwing up,
you want to
help. I want to help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
you got a good heart.
Yeah, I can't. Well, no, I mean, it ain't that.
No, it is.
I can't see somebody drowned or somebody fight with something. Mm-hmm. You're holding something up. I'm going to grab the other end of it. That's just in me.
Yeah. But,
you know.
We've watched people that, not everybody's like that.
Yeah. And a lot of people are not like that.
Yeah, it really sucks.
And that's you know, you'd see somebody have a few too many bourbons. And maybe they fell asleep, and now the pit is falling, and they ain't put another stick in it.
You can go over there and help out.
And you want to, but it's like you don't want to be caught putting a stick of wood in somebody's
another man's box.
Right. Yeah. So it completely flipped, and I was like, this is where it's at.
Okay.
Like, you know, we're all on team eat.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
So as long as everybody's smiling, everybody's having a good time.
You're having a good time.
That's the one phrase
I like to see and hear is, I cook for the people, not for the judges.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Because I bet that judges, like, that whole scene, it's probably just like anything else. I mean, it's so subjective in certain ways. I'm sure they have criteria, right? But, like, it ain't.
Well, everybody's palate's different.
Yeah.
Like, even barbecue-wise. Like, it depends on where you're from, depending on what
I remember. I remember reading articles about the wine, like, mainly because I'll go back to music because that's where my brain goes. But like Maynard James Keenan from Tool, he has a winery. He based his winery is based in Arizona, right? So when he would start entering competitions, the judges' palates or getting ranked. Maybe it wasn't a competition, but the judges' palates were geared towards a California wine.
All right.
So to get them to accept what Arizona wine tastes like, it took some.
Those are the Nazareth.
Persuasion or some time, right? Or some experience. They had to be exposed.
Dip a toe.
To exposure.
Yeah.
That's the word.
Dip a toe.
Yeah. Right.
Figure it out.
So, kind of the same thing maybe in the barbecue world. I'm a little behind.
Go ahead. What did we just eat? So,
Joey's got two bones laying
over
there.
I've already cracked a bone open and eating a marrow.
The first one was straight up Memphis mud.
Okay. That's my favorite. So.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
The second one you now have is the Buckshot and the Nazareth.
And the Buckshot's relatively new to your. A repertoire, I guess, what you call
it. So it's sea salt. I chose gray sea salt, to where the black flakes are the activated charcoal,
right?
And black pepper. So it's got a little garlic in it, but great on game meats.
It looks like buckshot, like when you put it in a can. Yep. I see where the name came from, 100%.
So that was our goal.
That's legit.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry.
I told you y'all got to fight through that. I apologize, but if you were in the studio, you'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah. So explain to you what y'all did, the process of cooking these this morning, I'm guessing, right?
So we started these a little after 12.
Yeah.
We did have them on the Tony's smoker all afternoon. And
what kind of smoker were you using? Anything special?
It's an old school. My
offset.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
One thing, since we are eating ribs, I know, like, when I got into it, I thought fall off the bone was the way to go, right? But that
that's not
necessarily the way you want a rib to be, right?
So the general public loves to fall off the bone rib,
right?
So a lot of restaurants will have that just because that's what sells,
right?
But of course, contest wise, you're kind of just looking for that bite where you just see the
right
half moon, you know,
right?
But I don't mind a rib with a little tug on it.
I was gonna say it took me some thinking about it, and I don't either. I think that works too.
Yeah,
you know,
fall off the bone is tender.
It's almost not like a rib.
But now sometimes it gets
like mashed potatoes.
It'll get a little mushy.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll just eat pulled pork.
I mean, yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I'm gonna hold the bone, I want it like a chicken wing. You know, I want to be able to hold it.
Yeah.
And eat it if it
just
falls.
Put
off.
It in a bun. We'll
right.
Just eat
right.
So this Nazareth, this kind of got a little sweet to it. What is that in there?
So that's cinnamon.
Okay.
Is in Nazareth, but yeah, it's a great flavor.
It's got a little spice too.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you sell this or
yes? So we sell that in a 1 pound bag.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow! All right.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Jerusalem?
Yeah, from Nazareth.
Nazareth. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Now that's way different.
Yeah,
way,
totally
that's
different.
That's way different.
Yeah.
But it's tasty.
It is. So. What all have you put that on outside of pork? Because I'm thinking, like, did you mention game earlier? Like, I'm thinking, like,
so the Nazareth originally was lamb.
Or even
chicken.
Quail. I don't know why I'm thinking quail.
Yeah.
Bird.
Poultry.
Bird. Any kind of bird would go great with that.
Yeah. Definitely. So it's pretty much like a shawarma seasoning.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of. That's exactly what that tastes like.
So, you know, a lot of places use yogurt as a marinade.
Yep.
So then they'll throw a little bit of that type of spice in there and use that as their marinade.
Wow. Wow. I wonder, was that in the picture that I shared earlier?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Because you don't sell it in the little shakers yet, do you?
No.
You sell it in the bag.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How to buy that, how much are we?
1 pound bag of it, I believe, is $15.99.
Oh wow, that's way worth it. And how?
It's got a bone, so you got.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, be careful over there. No, that's legit, man. That is absolutely legit. And we've touched on this already. You like to sell B2B, but you do the retail. How do you juggle those two? Right, because obviously we've already mentioned B2B is more consistent buyer.
Yeah.
They buy bigger in bulk.
Might be the best.
The retail is. You still do it, and it gets the brand out there, right?
So
how do you juggle both of those as a business guy?
So we do sell it from our website. I do have a few other websites that sell it. So porkmafia.us, barbecueproshop.com.
Is that you, or is that some other retailer?
That's another retailer.
Okay.
So
try that.
What is that?
Oxtail. It'll change your life.
Yes, it will.
Right. It's
a bone right in the middle of it.
Yeah, steak and burger, so you have to eat around it.
Texas. Yeah. I didn't even have to get all the way through that.
Yeah. Texas and every
God,
week.
God, dog. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I wish I was here, but y'all ain't. Y'all missed out. I'm going to sit it right over here.
Yeah. Salt balls.
Nope.
That's
all. As soon as I hit end live, it's gonna be on.
Yeah.
So, no, but where are we at? I'm sorry. So, balancing between the two.
So, I do have a distributor somewhat of putting a product, but a lot the retailers don't necessarily care for the big bottles except for butcher shops.
Okay.
And the local butcher shop here, Butcher on Tucker, is going to start carrying very soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Doug just sent me a text message and said, give my address.
So. Right. Yeah. We're going to make that happen, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that. So we've had the Butcher on Tucker on the show many times. All of those guys are really good friends of ours, and we love what they do. We love the product that they put out. So you're telling us right now, this is breaking news.
Exclusive.
Breaking news, baby.
Exclusive. They're going to be here first.
Yeah, they're going to be carrying your product on the
shelves. On the shelves. And they're doing a special this week, I think, on their chicken wings. They're using our Texas Gold.
So they've already got product.
They do right have now. Some yes. product right okay. now, but it's bulk.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
are they selling the shakers?
They will.
They will be.
Okay.
They're going to.
And what is the ounces on those shakers?
So the shakers are like 25 to 29 ounces.
Right.
And then retail-wise, those are normally around $15.
It's worth it.
It's legit. It's, I mean, it's less than me. Donnie always makes fun of my seasoning abilities.
Yeah,
but
I got a buddy of mine says he does it seasoning.
He's like, dude, you season terrible. I was like, well, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
I don't taste that meat. Yeah.
All right, so I want to know who did the logo. I've been wearing this hat since we first met. This is my second hat. I don't know if you know. Okay. I ordered one off of your website because my other one had a sweat ring. It was all faded out. It looked terrible because of me.
So that logo was our second logo. So okay. Original logo was the outline with the hashtag Pig Pork Mafia on it.
Okay.
That logo, though, a friend of mine that does my swag, I said, hey, I looked at this picture on the internet. Do I need to do anything to get you to copy it? He goes, just send it to me. So he made it a little bit and
changed it up a little bit.
And I said, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, it's I love it. It looks great.
I'm not even able to get it.
Yeah, now
Do I need a switch? Yeah, go ahead, right there.
And our Facebook group, Pork Mafia Street Crew, is growing. You know, we have about 1,300 members in that.
Dang.
Now.
Okay. And are y'all slinging recipes, techniques, and all that kind of stuff?
So any of that can happen, and it's whoever's buying the product wants to talk about how to use it or how they used it.
And it's just a Facebook group. It's just a Facebook group, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm about to drop the your Facebook page.
I shared it into the Pork Mafia Street Crew. But you got Pork Mafia Street Crews all over the place. You got a Pork Mafia Street Crew UK. You got a Pork Mafia Street Crew here. You got all kinds of
stuff. So wherever I've been in Europe, it seems to people want to be involved. So they're happy to join in.
What I mentioned it already. It's like this Anthony Bourdain style of life. Like what? Did you see this coming, and how is it?
No, I did not see it coming, and I'm going to ride the train as long as it goes.
Yeah.
I've already planned on going back to Europe, Lithuania in May. During Memphis in May here, I'm going to a barbecue event there.
Yeah.
That, of course, I'll cook in the contest, and I'm doing a whole pig demo.
Dang. So I think we've touched on it already, but, like, I want to ask you direct. I mean, obviously, barbecue's cool. Obviously, you're selling seasonings, and obviously, we all love to eat. But like, what's it like just meeting those cool people day in and day out at all these events? And that's part of your job. That's what we strive to be. You know,
it has turned into part of the gig for sure.
Right, right, right.
Just like the past weekend. I mean, who would ever think you could go cook with Chef Foles? I mean, my God, this guy's like the godfather of Cajun cooking.
Were you like in awe, like while you're doing it?
So originally,
okay.
So this was the seventh one.
Right.
But they've all been great, and he's been a great guy to learn from. Because I didn't know nothing about Cajun cooking.
I'm from Chicago. Dude.
Yeah, I mean,
but you got that alligator on your hand.
Yeah. So that was another one of the trips down. I went out with Jared. I mess his last name up every time.
But is it Kunas?
Yama Levies.
Yeah, he's down. He's in Violet, and he took me out. We got a 9'4" gator.
Yeah,
nice.
We were on the trip. He said you can bring two other guys, so I brought a military guy with me because he knew about the guns. I brought a chef with me because when we were done, we were going to butcher that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we butchered it, and
alligator's legit.
It is good, and all the different parts are a little different.
They are. I've mainly had the tail.
It's kind of like a pig. You got your white meat. You got your dark meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Monday after I think we went on a Sunday. So that the next day, Monday, the restaurant where the chef worked was closed, which was La Petite, and he made the sausage. It was just phenomenal. So he actually used all three rubs, the Memphis, Texas, and Louisiana, and whey powder in there to calm the gaminess down.
Okay.
And mixed it all together, and we must have made near 100 pounds of sausage.
Damn.
Out of that one gator?
Out of the one gator.
Yeah. You look at them, they're literally a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Right? And they're a predator. And then you eat them, and you're like, oh, you're prey.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm hunting you.
If you can get them.
Right. Well, you mean like tag-wise?
Yeah. Yep. So I that trip, I gave him gas money and paid for the tag. So
Right.
It was worth it. It's an even trade.
Yeah.
So on the way meet him, he said, hey, stop at Home Depot, get you a couple box cutters. We're like, what the hell are we going to do with that?
Yeah.
He's like,
hijacking a plane? What are we doing?
That's what you need to get through the gator skin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so y'all filleting it with box cutters.
We cut that skin off with the box cutters.
Dang.
So I still have the head as the trophy I had at the European Mount, so it's all nice and white.
9 foot gator's head is probably as big as that pan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's where that tattoo started. This bank of tattoos here was all done by Ace Tattoo in New Orleans.
Oh, the outside of like musicians, you know, they have a theme, but like I've always loved chef theme tattoos. Because I'll do some different stuff.
Yeah, so
that
I
does.
Got the pig.
Yeah, with it labeled too. With it labeled.
I got the fish right here. I got a cow's head.
Yeah.
I got the cleaver with a half of our logo in it, and I also got the Chinatown Social Club logo on there.
Nice.
Which I'm involved with in Chicago.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
that,
so the Chinatown Social Club is great. I've met this group of guys that a lot of them are cops or firemen.
Okay.
And they kind of control their neighborhood.
Is this off-duty type stuff?
This is off-duty. Okay. A lot of the cops are.
Cool, like a neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
It is a neighborhood watch.
Yeah.
Each neighborhood chat should have a social club that's watching over the neighborhood.
Yeah, 100%.
So, a friend of mine who's the, you know, president of the club is more or less the underground mayor of Chinatown. So you restaurants and the businesses in the area know they can call this guy and say, hey, you know, I'm having a little problem with this.
Okay. A little mafia vibe. Yeah. We'll lean into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll lean into that and make sure
so,
it's okay.
So it's a great group, though, and I've started cooking for, you know, a lot of the cops, police functions in the area. Cops, firemen need something cooked.
Because they are not appreciated.
Yeah,
underserved.
Yeah, they're not appreciated. Yeah. Yeah.
No, what's your connection with that community? Joey and I do some fishing tournaments. You heard us mention it at the beginning of the show. We wanted to connect with a charity, and it kind of was like serendipitous. It just kind of fell into place that we did with veterans because, like Joey just said,
we had Tackle 22 down.
And they were like, hey, we can work with you on this. And now it's like, we don't want to do anything without that vibe in the things that we do.
Yeah.
And it, like Joey just said, they're underserved, really underappreciated. And I don't want to get into that whole thing too deep, but it's a community that warrants being taken care of is not the right word. Appreciated, right?
Yes,
so why did you go to that community? Was there any story to that?
I met the guy. His name is Monk, and he's originally from Vietnam.
Okay.
And got to meet some great group, and they asked me to join.
Okay.
I said, yeah, I'd love to join. So I actually got that tattoo in Lithuania. So,
wow, dude, that's wild.
I was going over, and I said, well, they asked me into the group. I'm going to go ahead and get their logo put on.
Dang, that's commitment, son.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because you're not Chinese in any way.
No.
Now he is.
But I'm eating at some great Chinese food places now.
I bet. Flash that forearm, huh?
And it's really a phenomenal food just to get break away from barbecue to go eat in Chinatown. I've ate at some little hole-in-the-wall spots, you know, that are just great.
Yeah.
See, that's something I've never experienced, going to a place that actually has a Chinatown, I've never
Manhattan.
Been there. Yeah, I've never done it.
Well,
it was
when you come to Chicago, we're going to Chinatown.
Yeah. Is it? Have you been to Manhattan as well? I've never been to Chicago. Yes. Is it the same?
Somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat.
Because I'm like Joey. It was my first time. This was 2 years ago, and I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi, dude. Like we have. You know, we are a mixing pot, but not like this. I'm walking through.
We got sushi and a buffet.
Yeah.
That's all the Chinese we
but
got.
But, I mean, I'm walking.
We got some good.
We do. Yeah, we do.
We got some hole in the wall.
But you don't know about it.
But it's a restaurant. It ain't like, I just remember, and I might get the order wrong. Like, I remember walking through Little Italy, and it's literally everything is Italian. People are speaking Italian. Then all of a sudden, and again, don't.
It's like walking through Disney World.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah, and then boom, one block you're in Chinatown, and it's all Asian people, all Asian restaurants. I look out of place. No one's speaking English. Everybody's nice.
Tallest person in there besides Yao Ming.
Like literally. And then two, three, four blocks, whatever. Boom, it changes again. I'm like,
yeah.
This is kind of, it's cool to me. I think it's badass. You know.
Yeah, yeah, and New York is great also. I do a couple of events a year there.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing for me is when I know I'm going to travel somewhere, I'll connect with somebody like Tony locally, and that way
You get to get the vibe.
You
of
get
it,
the
right?
whole vibe of the
Town
area.
Hall last
as
time.
As well, I like to say, you're kind of juiced in.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
you got your own tour guide.
Yeah. So, well, right here. Yeah.
Well, that's
what
I mean.
We've talked about filming videos around here to do like what Tony's going to do for you, because I would love to go to a city. And even if I could hit a YouTube channel or hit a person's website that can take you to the julep rooms and the
Where did y'all do last night?
Like that you wouldn't know
so
to
do. So the julep
do.
Room was closed. We were going to go there, but we ended up going to right across the bridge.
Gills. Yeah. Yeah, like you would not know to go to Gills without.
That's the best dive bar in Ocean Springs.
Yeah. It's legit, dude. Yeah. It's legit. And it looks
full of brown water stickers.
Yeah.
It's unassuming from the street, but
every
it's where
bathroom,
you want to hang out.
Even the female bathroom.
Don't ask me how I got that one in there. Don't ask me how I got that one in there.
Just for a moment, he identified as
I sent my wife.
All right, well, anyway.
So it's always great to have that person that you know that is. That guy that
juiced
can take
in, like
those.
You said, yeah.
So and you have those feelers everywhere you go. You have Tony's everywhere you go.
So yeah. Lithuania, Finland, Sweden, Norway.
Shout out, Tommy
Norway
the
was
yeah.
a very
Tommy
great
the
trip.
What about the English? I mean, the barrier.
No problem at all.
Really,
a lot of them speak English.
They all
right?
speak English because they had learned that as their
which
language.
They love America.
Yes,
they love Levi's jeans. Budweiser.
So there's still hamburgers and baseball, right?
There is.
And
Harley Davidson.
And old cars from the States.
Yeah, they love it.
They're into old hot rods from the States, too.
Dude.
Really?
Crazy, dude.
That sounds like a better place to live than here.
I started seeing a lot about Finland, Norway, Sweden because of this whole Russia, Ukraine, and I started watching the NATO videos and figuring out, okay, who's on what border and why are they joining and all that, and started getting deep. Not deep, but did a look 101 of their culture. Mm-hmm. That's some legit people over there.
Totally.
I think is it
really cool. Cats.
I'm trying to think which one is it. Norway or I think it's Norway. What's
so
the
there's
one?
There's Norway on the coast, then Sweden and Finland.
Okay, I think it was Norway. The one that they have a very big military presence in their country. To border against Russia. They don't want they're like flexed up don't come over here.
So Finland's on one side of that of the
it
Russian
might have been
border.
Finland. I wish I could remember.
So one of the events I did in Finland, we hopped on a second little plane, a little prop plane.
Yeah.
Flew way up north.
Okay.
Cooked in the woods of Finland.
What?
On a lake.
And how was that?
It was awesome.
It's got to be cold, though. You were there in summer months.
So you could wear a jacket, but, you know, so that whole culture, Norway, Sweden, and Finland, it's pretty much sauna.
Yeah.
Is you know,
manly.
It's law in Finland.
So you're a sissy if you wear a jacket.
Yeah, dude.
So you go into sauna, it's naked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but what about, outside, though? What kind of temperature are we talking here?
So when I went, it was 40s, 50s.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I got to put a jacket on a pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't negative 30.
Right, no.
Okay, okay.
When I went to Norway, it was cold.
Yeah.
But now Finland taught me a little bit about the sauna culture.
Okay.
It's law that they have to have one in their house.
What?
Each house has a sauna in it.
Really?
And
you got to get in there naked. Naked.
Well, they want you to wear they want you to wear maybe at least underwear if you're
a loin
that. Yeah. You can wear underwear. But you know, being my first time over to Finland, I'm like, okay, I gotta fit in with these guys.
Right. I'm gonna show them. Here we go.
So my first time, I got in naked because they were all naked.
Right. I don't want to be the weirdo who didn't do it.
So I and this was in a giant sauna. So, I mean, in off season of sauna, they put hams in there and smoke the hams for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What?
Get some of
that butt meat.
Yeah.
So there was a guy on this property. All he did was take care of the fires.
Really? So it's like a fog when you walk in there. You can't see anything.
Yeah. So they have to exhaust the fumes for us to go in. So they had it.
So you run out of oxygen.
Got it all fired up all day, and we were getting ready to go in the evening. So they exhaust the fumes. So they're like, yeah, we're going in. So, you know, people might rinse off in a regular shower before they go in. And so they got the hot rocks that they're pouring water on to steam it up. So I go in and sit down. And like I said, this room was full of soot and stuff, you know, hours ago. So I sit down and getting comfortable. And then I see these guys start walking in and they got a little placemat like this. I'm like, what the hell is these placemats for? They go,
you're wiping your mouth
you didn't get one? They're supposed to sit on them.
Yeah. So you don't want to dirty up the seat.
I was to laugh because I had the black ass.
Oh, damn. Damn.
So I took one for the team, but it all worked. It was all
smoke
fine.
Smoke butt cheeks.
That's for your meat and taters. You know?
They got my giblets.
Everywhere I've been in Europe, though, there's not been a problem with communication at all because most of them do speak English, and they are very warming people.
I love barbecue.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Everything American.
I'm sure all of it's great. Do you have any? You know, that obviously that sticks out in your mind.
So Finland, I've been to several times. I really like going there. I have a close friend, Tommy DeFinn. Is great.
Tommy DeFinn.
Sound like a mafia. Yeah. Tommy DeFinn. That's Tommy DeFinn.
If I had a nickname in the mob, that's what it would be. Tommy DeFinn.
Lithuania is also great. Got a great group of people there. I look forward to going back there in May. Just the, you know, the culture there and the simpleness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It's all great.
It's not everybody doing this all day long. Right. On their phones. Right. Got to get out there.
There is that.
But yeah. It's that's kind of taken over.
It is taken over. But
Even though that reindeer that y'all did, whole reindeer.
So when we went up north, we did a whole reindeer.
I bet that was
north
delicious.
Where? States or?
Sweden. Finland.
Okay.
Sweden.
Okay.
No, Finland.
So that was where we traveled to by the small prop plane. And it was only like 15 miles from the Russian border.
Oh. Wow.
So when we first went, the chef that...
don't walk in the woods.
So the chef that
don't piss too far over there. You won't come back.
Yeah. The chef that organized it, so we were all like on a bus, tour bus, get up to the gate, and there's like a gate there. We were going into this like park, but there's a guard shack over here, and I didn't see him get off, so he's snuck into this guard shack, and he changed into a Russian guard uniform.
Holy moly.
And he comes running out, you know, talking Yang.
Russian, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell?
You're
So I so I grabbed the bottle of vodka, hung it out the window, and he came, got it, and he goes, go on in.
Yeah.
I'd have pissed on myself.
Yeah, I've been a little nervous.
But it was very cool.
Dashvidanya.
Yeah. So what is reindeer compared to any?
So it's different than the
whitetail or any of that axis.
So it's got
stuff.
Almost a hoof like a camel. It's almost that big.
They're gigantic. They're gigantic. Way bigger than whitetail.
So what's their real name? Like, does anybody know? I was trying to think of it. I thought it was the.
It's not a mule deer. It's bigger than that.
It's big.
Yeah, keep going. I'll look it up.
And they'll run and they'll trot, you know, right side of the road. I mean, we went to check into the hotel, and they kind of look like a caribou.
Yeah, it's different though. Yeah, a little different.
Yeah,
And they're right on the street though.
So do they hunt those like we hunt whitetail? Same thing.
They do, but they even farm raise them.
Yeah. Okay.
That they're on so many menus there.
Oh, so they eat that the time.
I've also had horse there.
I'm not against it. I'm not for it. Yeah, but if I was starving, I would eat every horse there was around. Yeah. 100%. And they all have to taste great. Like people say, I'd never eat a dog. Well, if you were
if you were dying of starvation,
you would eat that dog.
You come
in a
to Chicago and go to some Mexican restaurant, you might be eating
that
dog.
Yeah, there it is.
Raccoon meat.
Well, raccoon.
It does say that it's a part of a caribou.
Okay.
They
look pretty much like a big caribou. Yeah.
So they actually hunt these, raise them for food.
Yep.
Yeah. So they can hunt, they can have wild game in restaurants, unlike we can.
Right.
Yeah. Or for sale, like we can.
Right.
Dang, that's crazy. That's a lot of traveling you've done.
Yeah.
Just by starting a spice company, like for barbecuing.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, everywhere I go, I try to talk a little business to some places and see if we can get product moving and what would help them, you know, to start making a product. But yeah, it's just like the whole way down, I stopped and delivered product the whole trip, you know. So
I follow you on Facebook. I've seen the van and you dropping off the stuff. So
and that legacy.
Yeah.
That legacy blue is.
So the salsa is great also. So
we haven't even mentioned sausage yet.
So the sauce are in retail is called Cochon dipping sauce. And so that in the bulk, it's called the Legacy Blues. That's the Legacy is the manufacturer, and we call it the Blues. It's made with Memphis Mud's, the only spice in that sauce.
Is that the one with the black label?
With the pig head logo.
So cool story. You probably saw it. We had that little hurricane that come through, And that's the only thing I had left in my refrigerator that wasn't ruined was the legacy sauce, because okay. it wasn't in the refrigerator. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, put it back in there.
Yeah.
So, nice. Yeah. Well, you get coffee, mustard. Yeah, is coffee. That all yours, right?
So the mustard and Bloody Mary mix are different people's. So Ubon's Bloody Marys we distribute, which is from Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I will say, if you like, what's the one we like?
Zing Zang.
Zing Zang. It's thicker than that. It's like a real, like a tomato smoothie almost, if I had to guess.
Yeah, but thicker the better. I mean, I'm not. Yeah,
well, some people like it thick.
Or just dilute it with vodka.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's going to be put in there anyway. So.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
So Ubon's is a great people and a great restaurant they have up in Wazoo City. And the Kelly's Gourmet Mustard, we don't make, but we're happy to sell it because it's such a great product. There's a hint of horseradish in it. For people that think they have the best mustard, this Kelly's Gourmet Mustard has won the 2023 best mustard in the world.
Damn.
So it's not Grey Poupon.
No, right. No, it's better. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So how do you link up with those guys, whoever? So, how do you link up with that?
So the Bloody Mary mix, we were just friends a long time. I said, I can probably sell some of that. So I got, we sell some bars, some product.
Right.
So let's see if we can sell it.
Took them under your wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we probably sell about 4 or 5 pallets a year maybe now of the Bloody Mary mix. I'm about out and going to have to go get some more.
Okay.
So I have to go pick it up in North Carolina. And so I make another little trip out of that.
Yeah, yeah, so, just traveling.
Every week's a vacation.
Right. Well, he's working, though,
that's
man.
That's what my wife says.
Yeah. Right.
My wife says I'm on vacation all the time. But
yeah. Do you have kids?
So my kids are older. My daughter's in Central Michigan, graduated from Michigan State, went to Central Michigan to get her master's. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And my oldest son works for a frozen potato company.
Really? So you got
your food game too.
You're empty nesters, of course.
Well, so our son's back home. He's going through a divorce, and we get the grandkids every 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, but, life happens.
How old is your son?
So he's 40.
Okay, so he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
So I was going to bring up the thing today. Did you see on the radio? 57% of Gen Zers are moving back in with their parents. 57% because the housing market is so jacked up.
Oh, the housing market. Yeah.
It is jacked up.
He got thrown a curveball a little bit different.
Yeah, he's got a little divorce going on. So it's different.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's not easy to make it out here these days, you know.
So you still get your grandbabies.
Yeah. Get to see them, you know. So that's all good.
Yeah.
He's getting, back into the groove, so.
Yeah. Does your wife ever rank you up and say, hey, man, you've been on the road too much. You've been fishing too much.
It's
you've been catching gators too much.
As long as the check's cashed, sure. Like, hey, baby, I'm out here making it.
How about them Braves?
Right.
How about them Braves?
Well, I got a couple more before we wrap things up. We're getting deep into it, and I knew tonight was going to be a good one. It's been great. What advice would you give to the guy that's starting out backyard barbecue or wants to get into barbecue? Maybe they listen to this and they're all hyped up. Obviously they need to go get your seasonings, order some off your website or go to the butcher, but like give somebody, because breaking through is like the hardest thing.
Barbecue for dummies.
Young Republicans, let's if you're gonna go history or barbecue, because that's where we go.
Okay, well let's
World
hear
War
II. See, you know the meme. That meme hit me.
You either like World War or barbecue.
It hit that meme hit me hard.
Yeah.
Like I spent 8 hours in the dang World War II museum in New Orleans, I love it. I love it. I'm the stereotypical guy. But like, if you want to bust into it, like we talk about here, like whether you want
to
get into fishing or hunting, you've
you
never been,
have
even
to
if
keep
you're
pushing.
Older. Okay, but like, where do you start? Can you give us a little 101? Get you a Smokey Joe. Get you
definitely
a,
get you
whatever.
And who do you watch?
A Weber WSM or make your own drum. Now the East.
Yes.
So my favorite
the bum drum.
Backyard cooker is a bum drum.
Yeah, we
ugly drum.
We use those
all the time.
So I mean, you could probably make one for about. You could buy, I've seen them on Facebook Marketplace for $10.
Right.
Yeah. You buy a drum, you probably could buy the kit. I think my buddy over at smokerbuilders.com's got a kit you can buy and just turn your own drum into your backyard gourmet smoker.
Yeah. And then you start
just doing it.
And is there anybody to follow to, like, I want to do ribs. Should I go here? I want to do brisket. Should I go here? What do I look for?
So
it's not as good as what you had today. Dang. I can taste the difference. Sorry, go ahead.
So there's definitely those places you want to check out. You know, one of my favorite places in Austin, Texas is my buddy Kyle's place, Rollin' Smoke. It's just a trailer, but it is the best barbecue in Austin.
Do they have a social media, like YouTube, like where you watch them and stuff like that?
Yeah. So a lot of it, you know, you just do that little bit of research and all that stuff will pop up. Yeah.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at is, though, you don't need thousands of dollars worth of equipment. No. You don't need, you know, the meat can be expensive depending on what you buy, but, like, get after it, right?
I don't even care if you don't have a smoker.
Oh, okay.
Buy some rubs, local rubs, and even cook it in the oven to get started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are people smiling?
Right.
Do they enjoy it?
Exactly.
Right. I think the biggest thing with barbecuing and smoking is time.
Time.
Yes.
Like, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you got family coming over in an hour and a half, barbecue is probably off the table.
Well, that's...
You can't prep. Fake the funk.
Right.
You can't microwave this stuff.
Yeah. Nobody's coming over. A little bit of prep time does go a long way.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to, like, it's part of the ritual, right?
Yes.
Like, you can't just make it happen right now.
No. You care.
Right. You got to put the effort into it.
So my favorite way is if you got company coming over on a Sunday... Saturday night, throw a couple pork butts in your smoker.
Right. Let it roll through
the
night.
Let it roll through the night. Well, so you put it on at 9 o'clock. When you get up at 6 in the morning, go check it.
Yeah.
Should be good.
That's what I like about it. And
that's what's good about the one you have, your pellet smoker. You can set it and kind of forget it.
Look, I've been fully honest about it. Yeah.
This is the non-judgment zone.
I like the ability. Two things. Number one, I respect what you said. And that's what makes it so special. When you show up to somebody's house and you've got a brisket that you know they put 18 hours into, they started, yesterday evening, and you show up to their house, like you said, food is communal,
right?
And you're eating this that they put time into. They didn't just warm it up, order it, or even like with a good ribeye, which you know everybody knows how that tastes.
Right.
You can throw that on in two minutes,
and
it's
done.
It's ready to go. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
This takes effort, so I appreciate that. However, I do also love the ability to have a pellet smoker and set it to a temp and, you know, sleep.
Going by
and I've taken tons of heat for that, and I'll take more, and I don't care.
I don't care, right?
Yeah, I don't care. But I will say this, though. When you get into it, going back to the World War II meme and the smoking meat.
You either like World Wars or meat.
No, it's like you get in one or the other. Yeah, and I was like, I pick both? Yeah. But I was already into World War II way back.
Shane Gillis bit.
Yes. But what about... To me, the holy grail when you started was brisket, and it is one of the hardest things to do, and it's a little pricey. If you mess up an $80 piece of meat, especially when you do it on the last 3 hours of it, right before everybody gets there, that's the worst thing. But I feel like I've come kind of like full circle with it. Like, it is hard to beat a really good pulled pork sandwich.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
Or smoked chicken, and they don't take nearly as much love.
Well, my thing is, when you get a brisket, by the time you get done smoking, everybody comes over, you eat like three pieces of it,
that's
and everybody's like, I can't eat sticking butter. You know what I'm saying? You got this much brisket that you spent 18 hours on.
Yeah. Well, what's your thoughts on that?
So brisket is probably the hardest to get started, but once you figure it out, it's the easiest.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
I mean, I can probably cut that poly open and season it in my sleep and get it started, but
trim it.
So you wouldn't buy a brisket for four people. You got to have a crowd to serve that.
So I normally rule of thumb is 25 people per whole packers.
Okay,
brisket.
Okay,
is kind of what I figure for serving. I'm getting ready to do for St. Paddy's Day brisket, potatoes, carrots, and cabbage for one of our.
Well, that's
one of our
what do they call it? What's the St. Paddy's thing?
I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of the dang
corn
name.
Beef.
Corn beef.
So we're doing that coming up. So that'll be our next cook for we're doing it for Evergreen Park American Legion.
Okay.
And all that is a brisket.
Yep.
You just cook it a little longer, right?
So I will buy them brined already. My meat distributor already has brined product. So I'll just take that, throw some Texas Gold on it, throw it in the smoker. And then when it comes out, mix it up with the potatoes and
carrots
all on the side of it.
Dang.
Sounds delicious.
That sounds legit, for sure. So if people have listened to this and they want to check you out, we've mentioned the Butcher on Tucker, but if they're not in Mississippi, Can they? I bought this hat. I know on your website. Yep. They can get anything they want from you in any quantity.
Yes. Porkmafia.us, our website, or our Facebook group is Pork Mafia Street Crew. Also, Porkmafia.us Facebook page.
Okay.
Yeah. And you sell the shakers and the big bags to the public. Anybody who wants to buy
bags. Yeah.
And last but not least, on your merch. I love it. I love the way.
So we do have T-shirts with the old logos.
I love that one right there.
This logo with the hats we have with the Street Crew on the side.
Are you a music guy?
Yeah.
I figured you had to be.
I mean, you got the music.
I knew there was no way you weren't.
You got music, biker, food, and all wear the same
shirt.
Well,
it's just, I was going to say, it's throwing to me like straight up. Yeah. Dang, New Orleans, like metal, like down, and that whole
stuff. And I will be back for Hogs.
Yeah, crowbar, like the whole thing. Like
Hogs
for a Cause. Well, I'll be back down here in about a month.
Okay, New Orleans area?
New Orleans.
Tell me about that.
April 4 and 5, Hogs for a Cause. Our team is Hog Detonation.
Okay.
And it is fundraiser for pediatric brain cancer.
Damn, I like it. I love what you're doing. I love
What's the dates on those?
April 4 and 5.
I love that you take that stuff and, you know, make it towards a charitable event. So that's great.
So we have a great team. We're also looking for volunteers for front of the house. Anybody want to join Hog Detonation? They also have a Facebook page.
Okay.
So we vend at that also. So we vend barbecue, and then we have our competition.
That's usually spring break here. Yeah, that's right after Easter.
Yep.
Cracklins.
Yep.
The whole nine.
And is the public invited?
Yes, public can get in. Tony's actually took it to be our leader on Cracklins for this coming up season.
Cracklins, what do you got left?
Yeah.
33 seconds to get them right, pull them out, less than that.
I can't, you know.
Yeah. You can't get away with cigarettes.
They're going to be baller. That's all I can say.
Well, look, gentlemen, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for putting the time to cook that for us this evening. Tony, thank you for bringing the bourbon. That was amazing.
Sorry we drank all of it.
That's what I bought it for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was great. It was great. So go check out. I've linked in the comments the Pork Mafia Facebook page, and on there I'm sure it's linked to your website. Go check it out at the Butcher on Tucker.
Yep.
Go buy some product and taste it. Let us know what you think. Tag us. Tag them.
Can they get with you on product? Mm-hmm. Can you sell that to the public, or how's that work?
As soon as we get a bunch of it down here, Tony might have it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
We got to get the demand up. In retail, and like we've talked about that, he's B2B. But if we can get the retail demand, he'll keep it down here.
That's right.
Yep. And right now, like I said, go to the Butcher on Tucker. Y'all should know where that's at, or Google them and go pick it up. I know you won't be disappointed because it's legit.
No, I got it at my house. If you want to try it, come on.
Yep. Just come hang out with us. We'll cook with it.
25 cents a try.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's right. Thanks again, gentlemen. We appreciate y'all coming down.
We want to go fishing next time.
What's that?
We want to go fishing next time.
Let's hook that up.
You ain't on me. You walking backwards.
Fishing.
My boat's in the water.
Fishing has got to happen.
Let's do it. We will make that happen. I love it. All right. Thanks everybody for watching on the lives, the replays, and in the audio land. Go check out these links, man. We appreciate y'all, and we'll see you on the next one.
Get these ribs.
Boom.
Thanks so much for checking out the show. We really appreciate the support. If you haven't downloaded the Brownwater Banter app yet, go do it. It's free in the App Store and on Google Play. We have everything covered for a day out on the water. We've got the tides, the radar, Tails and Scales app. We've got a radio station right inside of it, and it's all free. All of our content is in there. You can listen to the show directly inside of the app. Make sure you keep your notifications turned on so you can stay in touch with us as we go live with guests in the future and plan events. If y'all keep tuning in, we'll keep doing them. We'll see you on the next one.
Brown Water Band.